Hello, Angela again with springsofzion.blogspot.com. And the Lord has really been moving, hasn't he? It's so great, this outpouring of God. And he's been sharing with me how to take dominion. And when we take dominion, we can overcome all obstacles. So whether it's sickness, whether it's circumstances, finances, a promotion, a new job, your car. We need to take dominion. We need to take dominion by the power of God. And a few days ago, I had a dream right before I was waking up. Typical for me. I was standing in a large room filled with all kinds of tools and I think gadgets. I didn't get too close to look, but this room was at the end of a hallway, and I had walked in, and the room was lined with shelves on the left, and under the shelves, in the center of the room, were tools hanging underneath them. And then on the right, there were a few tools too. And when I paused in there and looked, they looked like gardening tools, because the bigger tools had long handles. And I have been gardening, so maybe that was it. But as I'm thinking about this in my dream, I'm continue walking, and there's a doorway into a huge room. And this room did not have a ceiling. In fact, you could actually look up and see the sky. And this enormous room was empty. But as I walked into the room, I saw a pair of claw feet in the center of the room, under this open roof. And I knew immediately these feet belonged, or claws, bird feet, they belonged to an eagle. I knew this because we have a pair of eagles that fly over our property, and they are impressive hunters. Sometimes they have fish in their mouth. So I was a little bit frightened, I'll be honest. I could feel these eagles' massive size and power as I'm standing in this room. And I never actually look at the eagle, which kind of surprises me, but I'm really pausing at his feet and looking at these white feet, and at the top of the white feet were feathers, and they were kind of white. And as I looked up, I could see gray feathers, and I could see his leg, and then just the bottom part of his shoulder. And I had a knowing that I was going to take flight, but of course, I woke up. I always wake up on these dreams. It was fantastic. I was a little bit excited because I've never flown in my dream before. Granted, I still haven't, but my husband talked about this a lot. He's always like, oh yeah, I fly in my dreams all the time. I was like, really? Okay. So throughout the day, I'm really thinking about this eagle after I shared my dream with my husband, and I'm thinking about the symbolism of an eagle. Strength, courage, freedom. I mean, when we fly, we're freedom. Immortality, maybe? Well, spring is finally here in North Idaho, and it was time to prepare my garden. And it's a mess out there, you guys. And in my dream, although I didn't get a good look at the tools, they were definitely gardening tools, but they seemed sort of ancient. They didn't reflect my current, you know, little trowel and shovels and hoe. And as I'm digging, the Lord or Holy Spirit reminds me of the parable of the sower, which is in Mark 4. And I have to laugh because I have been in this chapter a couple of years. And then he gives me a dream. It's so funny. And I want to read it to you. And I'm reading out of the Holman Bible, so it's easy to understand. And feel free to go back and read it in your Bible, whatever you're comfortable in the King James or whatever. So the parable of the sower, chapter 4 of Mark. Again, he began to teach by the sea, and a very large crowd gathered around him. So he got into a boat on the sea and sat down. And while the whole crowd was on the shore facing the sea, He taught them many things in parables, and he, of course, is Jesus. In his teaching, he said to them, "Listen, consider the sower who went out to sow. As he sowed, this occurred. Some seeds fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Other seed fell on rocky ground, where it didn't have much soil, and it sprang up right away, since it didn't have a deep soil. When the sun came up, it was scorched, and since it didn't have a root, it withered. Other seed fell among thorns, and the thorns came up and choked it out, and it didn't produce a crop. Still, others fell on the ground around and produced a crop that increased 30, 60, 100 times what was sown." Think about that. Then he said, "Anyone who has ears to hear should listen." When he was alone with the 12, those who were around him asked him about the parables. They said, "He said, the secret of the kingdom of God has been given to you. But to those outside, everything comes in parables, so that they may look and look, yet not perceive. They may listen and listen, yet not understand. Otherwise, they might turn back and be forgiven." Then he said, "Don't you understand this parable? How then will you understand any of the parables? The sower sows the word. These are the ones along the path where the word is sown. When they hear, immediately Satan comes and takes away the word sown in them. And then these are the ones sown on the rocky ground. And when they hear the word, immediately they receive it with joy. But they have no root in themselves. They are short-lived. When pressure or persecution comes because of the word, they immediately stumble. Others are sown among thorns. These are the ones who hear the word. But the worries of this age, the seduction of wealth, and the desires for other things enter and choke out the word of God, and it becomes unfruitful. But the ones sown on good ground are the ones who hear the word, welcome it, and produce a crop. 30, 60, and 100 times what was sown." I mean, if we think about that, if we actually read the word of God for ourselves, we are the third group here. We're the ones, the seed comes and it produces on good ground 30 to 60 to 100 times what was sown. I mean, that, you have to think when you read the Bible about symbolism all the time. So there's the spiritual world and the natural. In the natural, I'm out there in my garden sowing. But in the spiritual, I'm reading the word of God, and he's sowing in my heart. So if you look at my dream, we're talking about the tools of God. What are they? Then Jesus says to them, "Is a lamp brought in to be put under a basket or under a bed? Isn't it to be put on a lampstand? For nothing is concealed except to be revealed, and nothing hidden except to come to light. If anyone has ears to hear, he should listen." Then he said, "Pay attention to what you hear. By the measure you use it, you will be measured and added to you. For to the one who has it, it will be given. And for the one who does not have, even what he will be given will be taken away." So we need to use our light, which is the Holy Spirit, right? The Holy Spirit is guiding us. He's helping us. He's our lamp. We have to fill our lamps. We're being filled by the Holy Spirit. And then Jesus talks about the kingdom of God growing. The kingdom of God is like this, he says. A man scattered seed on the ground. He sleeps and rises night and day. And the seed sprouts and grows. He doesn't know how. The soil produces crop by itself. First the blade, then the head, then the ripe grain on the head. But as soon as the crop is ready, he sends it for the sickle, because the harvest has come. And then Jesus says, "How can we illustrate the kingdom of God, or what parable we can use to describe it? It's like a mustard seed. When sown in the soil, it's smaller than all the other seeds on the ground.
and when it's sown, it comes up and grows taller than any vegetable and produces large branches so that the birds of the sky can nest in it and shade. Jesus then would speak to the word to them with many parables like these, as they were able to understand now. And he did not speak to them without a parable. Privately, however, he explained things to his disciples. So think about why we have to have parables. Because there's symbolism within them. They reflect our life today, and there's no timeline. And then, on that day, Jesus says to them, "Let's cross over to the other side of the sea." So they left the crowd, and he took them along, and he was already in the boat, and the other boats were with him. A fierce windstorm arose, and the waves were breaking over the boat, so the boat was already being swamped. But he was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. Jesus sleeps during the storm. So they woke him up and said, "Teacher, teacher, don't you care that we're going to die?" He says, "Rebuke the wind. Silence it." Jesus says, "Silence, be still." The wind ceased and there was a great calm. And then he says to them, "Why are you fearful? Do you still not have faith?" And they were terrified and asked one another, "Who then is this? Even the wind and the sea obey him." And I want to share about that in a minute. Well, probably my next podcast. But we have dominion. And the Lord wants us to read all the verses regarding dominion. And I want to say right away in the book of Genesis, we're told, God blessed them and said to them, "Be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky and over every living creature that moves the ground." I always refer to that for my dog. I'm supposed to have dominion over my dog. I'm supposed to make my dog behave. That's the same analysis under Genesis 1:28. Then we're told in Genesis 1:29, that every seed-bearing plant on the face of the earth, we're given that by God. He says this, "I give you every seed-bearing plant on the face of the whole earth. Every tree that has fruit will seed in it. They will be yours for food." So we don't need to worry about lack, even though the world tells us this. God feeds his birds. He's going to feed us. Every verse providing he provided to me while I was digging in the dirt, he reminded, Holy Spirit came. I began to receive a picture or an understanding of our dominion over earth. I want to tell you, this new revelation brought confidence to me because we need to operate dominion in every single area of our life. If you look up dominion over the land, there are 52 verses. There are 7 verses about cultivating the land, and then there's 15 verses about taking dominion over the land. So it's kind of fantastic and super empowering. So right from the start, he tells us in Genesis 1:26, "Let us make human beings in our image to be like you," to like us. Whoops. "They will reign over the fish in the sea, the birds in the sky, and the livestock, and all the wild animals on earth, and the small animals, like my dog, that scurry along the ground, like the bugs." So the other day, after I got this revelation, we have no seams or gnats, or I don't know what they are. They are awful in the spring. I literally went out to my dirt, put my hands in it, and took dominion. I prayed over the dirt, and then I took dominion over from my garden. And then I said, "Lord, I take dominion over all the creepy crawlers and on the land, in the sky." And I said, nothing demonic or dark can come onto my property. We have dominion. We become fruitful and we can multiply if we understand this. There is no lack, right? So we do not have bugs now. And I'm declaring that and decreeing it. So, my eagle dream is symbolic. We must seek refuge under the wing, which is why I think I only got to see the upper shoulder of the Most High Eagle. It represents God. He will cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness will be your spear, your shield, and your rampart. And we read that in Psalm 91. I can feel the Lord guiding this word, so please take it seriously. Those who seek his presence are being led into a new land with new tools, even ancient tools, to defend their God-given right. And he will take you and give you refuge under his wings of his great eagle. No matter where you are in your journey, we are told to seek the wings of the great eagle. We are told the woman fled into the wilderness to a place prepared for her by God where she might be taken care of for 1260 days. And that's Revelation 12:14. We are very aware of the time we're living in. And these are the last days, which I don't know what that means and neither do you, but we're supposed to live in the current day. So I want to encourage you to study the Dominion scriptures that I have provided on my blog. As you read them, let them help you grow in your deeper knowledge as a disciple of Christ. Not only do we have dominion, but we have authority over earth if we stay under God's wings. And how do we stand there? We repent of our sin. We praise God. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Can I ask you to pause this podcast for a second and soak in this truth? This is huge, you guys. If we let this revelation expand and take hold within our minds and our hearts, that the earth belongs to us. The world tells us this is Satan's land. No, God gave it to us. God gave it to us. And through Jesus Christ, we have dominion. We can begin to decree and declare God's word over every situation in our life. First, we need to believe it, right? In every situation, we are the victors and never the victims. The victim garment, that belongs to Satan. He, in putting it on, allows him to harass us, to steal our joy, and to kill all our relationships. In this truth, we shall never put on the victim garment again. In the name of Jesus, I speak this over you. By his power, we are not victims, we are victors. So now that we know who we are, Satan has to flee. If we look at Cain's journey in the book of Genesis, he went from God's radiant presence to the shadow land of Nod. I hadn't even really looked at this, I'll be honest. Nod is a place that God isn't. There's no presence of God. We're told he went from God's presence to the east of Eden, the land of Nod, Genesis 4:16. When I looked up Nod, it means wandering. And the term presence of the Lord represents Eden, the Garden of Eden, right? It's a place of pristine abundance and beauty, or a physical symbol of God's presence among his people. So if we go to the land of Nod, we're basically in a spiritual wilderness. We depart from God's warmth and presence. So to avoid that, we need to know our journey. We commence our journey by basically accepting Jesus as our Savior, right? That's our salvation moment. And then the Holy Spirit comes and indwells in us, signaling God's constant presence, a concept known as an intimate fellowship. Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? We're told this in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19. However, we've learned that our spiritual journey requires an active, conscious communion with God, which demands effort and dedication. This is basically my entire podcast and blogging journey. We have to remember we're leaky. We need constant, consistent filling by the Holy Spirit. Our world demands and requires our attention at every turn, making many of us stumble into our own version of the land of Nod, or Node, I'm not sure how that's pronounced, and then we neglect and forget to pray. We're so busy with our own concern, life disruptions lead us into this wandering desert, and it's lonely there. The Father, I'm sorry. I lost my place. I wrote this up so I could do a better job of speaking it out. Please forgive me. All right, so our nod distances us from God. And then to find our way back, which we can do, you're not lost, we find our path back to his warm embrace through repentance, reviving our devotional life, reigniting our zeal for God by service or listening or whatever ministry God has. This rekindles our relationship with God. If you're not working for God, it's very difficult to make time for him. And I'm not saying you have to work, but it does help. My podcast has increased my knowledge of the kingdom of God because I'm having to learn. And this way, this path is the light of his presence. Knowing this is essential because if we can resist the temptations of our world, we can stay and be nurtured by God in this barren, desperate land of Nod. So, let's take ownership right now, you guys. We're going to take dominion over the earth. This takes not only head knowledge, but we have to cultivate. Use those tools in my dream. Cultivate these words or verses in our hearts. If you're like me, you're going to need the tools because my hardened heart, it had some definitely experiences of wounding and abandonment, which I've shared. But I also had generational curses, and Holy Spirit will reveal them to you if you make time for it. And then there's other things and reasons, too. I'm not listing them all here, but you will need the words, the tools, in my dream to cultivate your heart. On my blog, I list all the verses that I would suggest that you meditate and memorize, maybe write one down every day. Do a little bit of this, because if your mind knows these verses, the battle is winning. You're winning the battle. I also put a link for sewing. There is a sewing link for, I think there was 7, how to cultivate the land so that your fruit is bearing, right? We want to bear fruit and we want to walk in peace. We want to be near God. We don't want these barriers and neither does he. So I just praise God today and I thank him for each one of you and that you carry his light and that you are seeking him diligently. God bless you. Take care. Bye-bye.